we've been wrestling with a lot of things that we think the world is experiencing right now that Christians need to have a different perspective on. And in every message, last week, my wife had a message on disunity and following through with what does that look like in unity. And I think she closed the service with a review of the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah, and I think it was the right thing to do. I think a lot of what we read about in the news is a lot of times people on the mainland are fighting to get the Ten Commandments back in the classroom, or Ten Commandments on the walls, or Ten Commandments in the structures outside the building. But really, God's intention is that they would be written on our hearts, right? And sometimes we just forget that completely, that there are laws. Now, we have great discussions over grace and the law, and it's called the Torah, and some people get confused about what God's expectations are in that relationship with Him. Some people are way out on the left side that say, well, we're living in a season of grace, which means whatever I do, God will forgive me, and it's okay. It's called extreme grace. On the other side, there's grace that says it's God's empowerment to not sin. It's God's empowerment to show favor. It's God's empowerment to walk the way that He wants us to walk. So we have these two spectrums in regard to grace. And the Torah, or the Old Testament, and by the way, Pastor Stephen, I just love the way you introduced that communion today. There is so much that's in the Old Testament that we need to connect with what we believe and why we believe in the New Testament. And quite frankly, many Christian churches today don't make room for that. So we're of the opinion, this is my opinion that I keep speaking to you about, you need to know what you believe and why. And then you can defend it. Now this morning, I'm going to get into something that I've never done before. In fact, I've stayed away from the specific topic. I taught on it during COVID. I did an 18-week review of the book of Revelation. Went to it in detail. And I got to be honest with you, that was in 2020, 2021. A lot of the things that I took as gospel, while going through that, my opinion has changed. The Lord has opened my eyes to some other scriptural references and points of view that I'm continuing to grow in. Now, I'm not going to go over all of that this morning, but I think many of you know that one of the pastimes I have when, as I've gotten away from watching television, I now watch, forgive me, YouTube. Come on, you guys can pray for me right now. Stretch your hands out and just say, okay, bless Pastor John as he doesn't get sucked into the YouTube. Well, I've been sucked in for some time. I love podcasts. I can concentrate for 20 minutes, 25 minutes on a great message or a great question, and I can grasp a bunch of stuff. Where I get lost is I look at an hour and a half video on the history of lost civilizations and dig into megalithic things. I try to stay away from conspiracies and all those kind of things that are on there. And by the way, YouTube is filled with what you would call clickbait. What's advertised is not what they talk about. So you have to discover which sites are reasonable and so forth. But anyway, I'm sitting in my bedroom and I have an hour or so, and I start flipping through YouTube, and I look up and I notice a Tucker Carlson interview that caught my attention. Now, most of you know Tucker Carlson. He's gotten recent notoriety for his stands on a variety of subjects. He still has a massive listening and watching audience. He's an influencer. He brings interesting perspectives. Now, but most of the time when I start to follow somebody, I want to know what they believe. What's their faith? What are they trying to say wrapped in what they're saying to me? And I want to look for the foundation. Well, this particular interview that he's doing, he was interviewing a country western musician by the name of John Rich. Thank you very much, Pastor Darren. A musician by the name of John Rich. Now, if you're a country western fan, you might know that name. I don't. Never heard of him before. And so everything that he was presenting, all I know is that it was attractive. He had a black cowboy hat on, and he was a decent-looking guy. So I said, oh, maybe this is interesting. But what got me was there was something about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. Oh, this could be interesting. On Tucker Carlson, I said? So I tuned in. and I was caught. I very seldom do this, where I watch the first 10 minutes or so. This is an hour and 27 minutes long. I watched the whole interview. And I thought, I got to share this with some friends. And I started praying, and I didn't share it with anybody because I think that was on Friday. On Saturday morning, we had prayer. And one person in the prayer meeting said, I want to pray for my family, my daughter, and my friends who don't know the Lord because the time is short. And I thought, oh, is that a word from you, Lord? Are you speaking to me? Because I really believe this video that we're going to take a tour of this morning. I've never done this before, but I'm going to show snippets from the interview. We're going to listen to the song that this guy wrote, all right? And look at the lyrics, and we're going to hear the exchange between Tucker and this young man, John Rich, and where it leads us. Now, I get to make comments in between the snippets, okay? So stay with this, because we're not going to watch the whole hour and 26 minutes of it, right? So this interview took place on July 16th. That was just last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. And already has over 1,600,000 views. All right? And the focus is the song that this man wrote. It's a song that he wrote. His name is John Rich. And he says, and you'll hear, I think I got it in there, that he channeled the entire thing from God, all the lyrics and the music. So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, God, is this a message for now? Is this what you want the church to be conscious of? So it's 5 days. It is... In 5 days, one of the top downloaded songs in America. This is what's interesting about this. But getting to know and hear from the author and the exchange of ideas that goes on with Tucker, I think, is greatly beneficial, if only for my own personal need to know what Tucker believes, okay, or where he comes from. And that sometimes can be confusing for us. So with that being said, Tommy, can you introduce us to session number one, okay? We're going to start from the beginning, I believe.
It seems like everything has aligned in the period of like 3 days to make it very obvious Donald Trump's going to be the next president. There's no doubt about it at this point. Mm-hmm. Very little doubt to the extent you can tell the future. But what do you make of that?
Well, they tried to kill him.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
I mean, and they missed. Or God turned his head and they missed.
And then within like 4 minutes, Elon Musk endorses him, right? Richest man in the world.
Right.
Biggest, most important media mogul in the world by far. Bill Ackman, lifelong Democrat. It's like all of a sudden, it's just everything changes in one moment.
People like Eminem. I looked up his record just to see what Eminem's doing. One of the titles on his record is just called Evil. One is called Lucifer. And one is called Antichrist. Of course, he's got the entire machine behind him. I don't have anybody. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. You could replace the word beast with system.
Revelation says that.
Oh, yeah.
How do you not take it?
How do you not take the mark?
Yeah.
You have to be willing to die.
So when you texted me, when was that? When did you text me about that?
I texted you probably, I sent you the audio of it probably 4 months ago.
So I'm not a musician or a musical performer or anything like that. So I don't, I have no idea what the market wants or anything like that. But when you said you'd written a song about Revelation, I was like, well, it's a legitimate book of the Bible, but it's the one that preachers don't teach, that no one really wants to read. And I'm thinking, that's so great. I couldn't wait to talk to you about it. But
yeah,
I didn't think that anyone
It's an uncomfortable
would
book.
want to hear it. So tell the story. Like how, I've never heard of anybody doing something like that.
Right.
First of all, what is Revelation?
Revelation was written by the Apostle John at the end of his life. When he was basically a castaway at that point, and he started receiving visions and prophecies, and he wrote down what he saw. And a lot of what he saw, you got to remember, he only had his life experiences to try to describe what it was that he was seeing in these prophecies.
He was on an island, as I recall.
Yeah, Isle of Patmos. Yeah, and So he was writing this out as it was coming. Can you imagine what he must have felt like? No. What is that? What is that? Like, he's seeing all these things that are going to happen thousands of years in the future, and he's trying to describe it to us in the terms that he was familiar with. So, I mean, the book is absolutely incredible, and it's not just Revelation. Revelation ties back into Daniel, which was around thousands of years before John.
Yes.
It also ties into Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Corinthians and a lot of other places. People think that the whole end times discussion only resides in the book of Revelation, but that's not true.
So the book of Revelation tells the story of the end of history. That's my read.
Tells the story about the return of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It says it's telling you what is going to happen prior to him coming back and what's going to happen after he comes back. Lays it out.
So how did you decide to write a song about a book of the Bible that most Christian preachers don't want to talk about?
I did not decide to write this song. Huh. Because first of all, how do you sing what's in Revelation? I mean, think about it, you know. Last November, I'm at my house in Nashville, was not thinking about writing a song about anything. And out of nowhere, it felt like a hammer hit me in the back of the head. Boom, like that. Like, what is this? What is going on? What's this feeling? And this melody and these lyrics. Oh, Revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Oh, get ready, because the king is coming. The king is coming back again. I'm talking like that. And I went,
where were you?
Okay, I was at home in Nashville.
Just sitting in your living room?
Just chilling out. And I said, okay, I hear you. I grabbed a guitar off the wall, a pencil, a notebook, went and sat in a quiet room in the house, and in about 60 minutes, the entire song had come out. I sang it into my little voice notes on my iPhone, put my earbuds in, and walked around the house, just pacing around the house, listening to it over and over, and the hair is raising up on my arm.
Is this how, pardon my ignorance, but is this how songwriters write songs? Has this happened to you before?
No. Nothing's ever, the only other song I ever wrote that felt like this was one called Earth to God that I wrote a few years ago. That was the same experience with that, but this one was more intense than that. You know, when he hits you, you know it. It is, you cannot mistake. When the Lord slaps you upside the head with something, you have a physical reaction to it. I do. I have a physical reaction to it. It does not happen very often. It's a very rare occurrence. But when it happens, listen, what I'm built to do is take a pencil and put the words on the paper, put music to that, and then project that out. That I've spent my whole career getting to a point where I'm pretty good at that. Except this message is beyond, and it's incredible that it hit me when it did in this period of time.
So you felt like you were channeling this?
I felt like he slammed it right through me. And as I'm walking around listening to it, and the hair's raising up on my arms, I remember looking out the window, and I looked up, and I went, what do you want me to do with this? I mean, what do you want me to do? And the message I felt coming back to me was, take it all the way to the mat. That's the phrase that hit me, meaning make the audio as great as you can with your skill set. Make the video as compelling as you possibly can. And when you get those things done, tell as many people as you can. Slam it out there with no fear, as hard as you possibly can, and let this thing be heard. That is your job. Go do it.
So you're describing a creative process in which you're kind of like not driving the train at all.
At all. No, because I didn't come up with the song. I did not lay out some marketing strategy for the song. I was given instructions as to what to do with it. And listen, it's an unnerving thing to write a song like that, to sing it, and then put it out there in front of God and everybody, especially in the way the world thinks and operates today. That's not what a popular artist would do. I mean,
well, again, I don't know anything about this world. But when you told me that, I didn't even think about, you know, would anyone download that song? And then as of this morning, it's one of the top downloads in the country.
It's in all genres. It's in the top five-ish right now of all genres of downloaded songs. It's battling people like Eminem, who I looked up his record just to see what Eminem's doing. One of the titles on his record is just called Evil. One is called Lucifer, and one is called Antichrist. How crazy is that? And so I see Eminem and Revelation. Of course, he's got the entire machine behind him. I don't have anybody. I don't have any, you know, any physical machine behind me. And so to watch those two songs sitting there coexisting was a pretty
striking.
When
you say machine, to people who aren't in the music business, like maybe they don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Massive record labels, massive radio play, massive budgets to push and promote and manipulate media and get his song out there.
What is your record label doing for you?
My record label?
Yeah.
My record label is a P.O. box called Rich Records, LLC.
So you don't
I'm
have...
the president, founder, and employee.
So you don't have anybody pushing this song?
Nope. Just the people that hear it, and if the song strikes them, they push it forward to whoever's following them.
So before we get into what the song is actually about, will you just describe... Like how do you roll something like this out if you don't have publicists, record label, if you don't have the machine? How do you do that?
I do have a publicist. So Jules has been with me a long time. So when it's time to roll, she'll call people and go, "Hey, John's got this song Revelation. Would you interview him about it?" So we do that. We go out and talk to people and, you know, come talk to you. But beyond that, nothing. You just post it. I posted it on my ex account at John Rich. And I went up there and I said, "This is the most important song I've ever written. It's called Revelation. I hope it brings courage to the saved, conviction to the lost, and absolute fear to the truly wicked." That was the post. And within about 48 hours, it's now battling some of the biggest artists in the world. That's all I said.
That's just absolutely incredible. And that's it? There's nothing else?
That's it. Then the song and that video does its thing. You know, it's got the boss's hand on it. He gave it to me. Man. He told me to write it, so I did. And he told me to go put it out there, so I did. It's on him now.
What do you think the message? So you basically have said that you didn't write the song. The song came through you.
That's correct. And that may sound like some kind of weird thing for people to hear, but that is exactly what happened. I'm not capable of writing lyrics like that. And first of all, they're not really lyrics. They come right off the pages of the book, man. I mean, I just made it rhyme. I just made what John talked about in Revelation. I just made the crafted them so where they would rhyme and become a song. But you know, the entrance of the song says, "Dancing in the flames, the people cursed his name," talking about Jesus, "and bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's going to turn away from all their cries," meaning at the end. And what that's talking about is when you watch the Super Bowl halftime show, or you watch the Grammy Awards, or you watch some of these big concerts and music videos where they are putting satanic symbolism right in your face. They are practicing witchcraft on the stage right in front of you. You're watching a football game or an awards show and with your kids. And now, whammo, straight evil coming straight at you. We've all seen this now. Somebody has to counter that. You know, these guys have all these massive budgets. The entertainment value, the ability to produce those things at such a high level, it's impossible to look away from it. You know, it's like, boom, pow, huge, special effects, all this stuff, and everybody's just mesmerized, and it's going right into them. So on Revelation...
Wait, can I just ask you to pause?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually haven't seen any of that because I don't have TV, but I've read that this happens.
Yeah.
Why? Why are they pushing Satan worship on television?
Because they're doing the work of their father, just like I am.
Wow.
Wow. Is at that point, I want you to know, now he's got me. Okay, he's speaking my language to a large degree as we turn TV off, basically. And it's shocking to me to hear Tucker say he doesn't have a television. It didn't come across real clear, but he is absolutely, let's say, lost when it comes to a lot of the things that are going on culturally between good and evil. Now, I want you to know, as we're going to come back to this interview with some more, but in a minute, I'm going to introduce the song to you. Because I want you to actually hear him and see what he did in the video. But the point is, if there's anything that he says that strikes me, it's the overabundance of the wickedness that has permeated our culture, around us, that there's got to be a flag going off in your heart someplace. It has in mine and maybe yours for some time. But I'm looking at this. This guy is relatively unknown, and he's sitting in front of a guy who is known around the world. And they're having a conversation, and they're just starting to peel back some of the things that Tucker has no idea about. It's just beginning. So John's comments about what's going on, the father, the one who's running the show for them, these you know, that should speak to a Christian's heart as to knowing the difference between good and evil. Now, I'm prepared to tell you that there's some things that are happening that you and I should be much more aware of in the world. And some of those things cause us confusion. And I'll get to some of those things in a minute. But before I do that, Tommy, if you're ready, would you shoot the video on? This is the song. It's called Revelation, okay? John Rich wrote this.
In the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries.
Quotes from chapter 12. Now, this is on a international video that's being downloaded, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of this is Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. Then it talks about the mark of the beast. Now, this is interesting to me, and I'm exposing the things that are interesting to me, and maybe I might be causing some of you to get a little antsy in your seats, but this, I think, is a message for today. That's why I'm doing this, okay? I think the Lord is directly in this. Let me read to you. If you follow social media at all, you know that people make comments. They write in. As of this morning, I checked again, there were over 18,000 comments to this video. Let me read to you some of the comments that are coming. I didn't choose any particular ones. I just copied a whole list of them in sequence, okay? John Rich is preaching more truth than 99% of pastors in the world. Exclamation point. Here, this is it. I am 49 years old and was not raised in a religious family. I only just started on my Christian journey, and I believe that the fact that I'm coming at it from the experience, from life experience rather than religious experience, makes sense to me. When I started reading the Bible, it just made sense, and I believe it is because I had no other teaching about it, and I just wanted to know what was there. I clicked with the good news immediately. Thank you, God. Now, as I fight with my iPad, when I was 13 years old, God made me read because he said that it, although we don't know the exact day and hour, I now know that what we're seeing is evil being pushed everywhere. We need to have faith and be, we talked about this morning in the class, be conscious of the one who can not only kill the body, but the soul. This is coming from people around the world. This guy says, as an ex-Muslim, I'm trying my best to fight with my computer, but it doesn't want to pay attention to me. I don't think this message is supposed to get out. So when I was 13 years old, I got it. God made me read. Thank you, Tommy. God made me read Revelation because he said that end times will be in my generation, although we don't know the exact day and hour. I'm now in my 40s, and it's amazing how we are seeing evil being pushed everywhere. Have faith and be obedient. Fear God. We heard that this morning too, right? Fear God who can kill the body and soul. Thank you for this show. God bless Tucker and preach it, John. As an ex-Muslim, Jesus, please save me. I was conflicted and you healed me. I pray you give me courage now that you have saved me. I believe with everything I got that you are Lord and died for my sins. I will do everything to repay you. I have 22 of these that I realize I'm not going to be able to read all of them. Let me read the last one. I am a Japanese normal housewife. I love that intro. I'm a Japanese normal. I don't know how many abnormal Japanese housewives there are, but this lady struck me. This show was the first time that I could not walk away to the kitchen to finish washing dishes. I had to watch and listen to John Rich word by word for an entire hour and a half show. God bless America. My text this morning is that passage, Revelation 13, 16 to 18. It says, also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The title I chose for this morning so that you can keep track of this is The King is Coming, ... back again. I think we need to get ready for that. So with all of that being said, you might be asking yourself, what is Pastor John up to this morning? What is he hoping to accomplish with this? I want us to my desire is that we'd be shaken a little bit because God is moving. He is flat out moving, and if we're not moving in sync with him, we're missing a wonderful opportunity that he has designed intentionally for the season that we're in. I believe that this interview touches on some of the issues that many of us are struggling with. And it gives me the sense that some things are becoming very obvious as I listen to this interview. I think if you look at what is going on real close, you will see a couple of points. Number one, the battle between good and evil is becoming clearer and clearer. And the battle is real. Number two, it's getting harder and harder to believe that people in positions of power within our government are committed to telling us the truth about anything. And the question is, who can be trusted? Number three, the discussion on the end times is now mainstream. The Holy Spirit is moving. And lastly, for me, people are becoming open to the topic. Jesus is coming back. Now, as we look at this, and I show you this video, it's becoming obvious to me that we're coming to the end of the age. And I have some comments I'm going to share with you about that kind of picture. It's the end of the age as Jesus defined it. But John Rich made a good statement. Revelation is about what happens before he comes back and what's going to happen after he comes back. We seem to forget that as I'll introduce this thought to you, we spend a lot more time talking about the rapture than we talk about what's going to happen after he comes back. And I want to talk about that a little bit too. You see, I think that we should be watching the chaos that's going on around us, not with fear, but with a growing trust in our God who has told us to expect what the world is going to get, that the world is going to get turned upside down. Evil will look like it is winning. Many of those who love Jesus will fall away. Many will die. And just when it looks like there's no hope for mankind, he comes back. And we're not anywhere near that yet. So with that being said, let me get you to the next session. Tommy, if you're ready with session three, this one starts at 15:45. All right, we've got 4 minutes of this one. Okay.
Straight up. And they are not ashamed about it. You look at Eminem's new record where the titles are Lucifer, Antichrist, Evil. This is out right now. So I don't know what happened on their side to go pedal through the metal with it, but they absolutely did. So on the other side of that, what are we supposed to do in response to that? Just yell at it, scream at it, be disgusted by it? You can do all those things.
Well, the first thing you're doing is naming it. You're naming it, which I think is so interesting. You're calling it what it is. You're not falling for the lie, which is this is just art.
Right.
It's more than that. I mean, maybe it's art. We can debate that, but it's certainly more than that. This is a theology. You're pushing a religion on me.
Yeah.
And it's a religion of darkness and lies.
Right. And they're pushing the same their same theology, because it is that, on our kids. They're pushing it in schools. They're pushing it in pop culture. They're pushing it everywhere you turn around. You can't get away from it. I mean, we're inundated with it right now. We are swimming in what these people have put out there.
It's just really important to know what you're dealing with and to say it out loud. And
yes.
I think if you had said that to me 5 years ago, I would have thought, well, you know, really like John Rich, a little far out. But now,
nothing I'm saying right now, anybody that's had a TV set on in the past year knows what I'm talking about.
It's just beyond. Thank you for saying that. So tell us about Revelation. You said Revelation is the story of Jesus coming back.
Right.
What's in it exactly? Because I think even a lot of Christians haven't read it carefully, don't understand it, don't want to confront it. What is it?
So in this song and in this video, what it is talking about is what the real war is.
Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries.
The real war is not Trump and Biden. The real war is not left and right. The real war is not culture war. It says in Ephesians, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of spiritual darkness of this earth, of this world. That is the battle. That's the real battle. And they say, you know, in the Bible, it says you can't see that because there's a thin veil between the physical and the spiritual. And what's going on just on the other side of the veil. But when you read Daniel and you read Revelation, it says at some point that veil will be torn, which my song talks about that. And when that veil is torn, you'll be able to see what's going on the other side of that. And so in the video, you see the devil come blasting through a fiery portal out in the woods of Tennessee on one side of a little country church on a black horse, and he starts running, and he looks nasty. It's Nick Searcy, by the way, the actor, my good friend. He plays the devil. He's one of the nicest guys you ever met, so it's funny that he's the devil, but he plays a good one. And on the other side of that church out in the woods in Tennessee, this massive beam of energy comes crashing down to the ground, and the trees go like this. And out of that blast comes Michael the Archangel, and he pulls a broadsword out of his sheath. And he grits his teeth, and this guy's got muscles. That's Hollywood Yates, my buddy from California. He comes walking straight towards the devil, and they're coming like this, and I'm standing in the middle. I'm humanity, and here's evil, and here's righteousness, and they are about to clash. And the point of that is to put into people's mind a representation of what is spiritual warfare. I wonder what it actually looks like. Now, I did the best job I could trying to depict that, but when you see those scenes, I think that's one reason why this song is doing what it's doing, because to my knowledge, nobody's ever even approached this subject in the world of music or video.
Amazing. So why is it, why is Revelation so hard for people to grasp, to read, to understand?
Yep. Who's going to answer that question? Maybe you were waiting for him to answer that question without having to think through that yourself. What he says, and I don't think I captured it in the comments, is much of the picture of Revelation is using the words of John at that time. He couldn't realistically depict it in what he saw for the future. But more than that, we're living in this time. There wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, we couldn't see technology being able to do what the Bible says it can do. Today we can. And get into that a little bit. So again, a couple of thoughts on this. This premise, that the way he's talking now, I want you to watch Tucker as he's beginning to get a piece of the picture. I'm looking at Tucker as a model of a person who knows nothing about the Bible. This is Tucker exploring what's going on. And John, to my mind, does such a great job of just going along and explaining it. Maybe it would be a help for you as you think about explaining these kind of questions. But I tell you, we probably will never be asked the kind of questions that Tucker is asking him. But in this process, the light begins to show with Tucker. And I just love that. So, Tommy, can we go to session number 4? Are you ready? Tommy's working so hard back there today. You got it? No? Oh.
Going to be whatever entity, a group of nations it speaks of, that will set into motion. We always talk about globalists and the globalist agenda and all these things. It will be a globalized stranglehold on the human population that they will know where you spend your money, where you get your money. Reminds me of central bank digital currency, if something like that happens.
So I've read, I'm embarrassed, this is being recorded, I probably shouldn't admit this. I've read Revelation, actually.
Sure.
I tried to understand it last year. I didn't realize it said, how did I miss that? It says you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast.
Without the mark, yes, that's
John, correct. On the Apostle John on some Greek island 2,000 years ago said that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And so, so prior to technology showing up where it's at now in 2024, these things were impossible. How's that going to happen?
That's a pretty specific call, though.
Very specific. Yeah, so now all the things that need to exist physically are all here now so that the prophecies that have been laid out could now physically manifest. Now, I don't know if that's going to be today or 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this is a new era. So when you read Revelation and you read Daniel and you read these other prophecies, it now doesn't sound like science fiction anymore because we see it every single day.
That is absolutely crazy.
Is that a light bulb going off or what?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I also don't quite know how I read the whole thing and didn't catch that.
Well, it's a...
Because that is one of the central questions. I mean, that's like top three question of our current moment is, will we allow technology to take our autonomy away and, for example, control what we buy or sell?
I mean, right. Well, I mean, yeah, with the advent, what we've got AI now in the mix. Yeah. We've got all these things that, I mean, we already know they track us. We already know they know where we spend our money. We already know all those things. I wanted to talk about, you know, spiritual warfare. We just saw President Trump almost murdered on stage. And everybody I've heard talk about it, even his detractors, say that was an act of God that he did not die.
Yes, it was.
It was also an act of God that the situation was allowed to happen in the first place. Don't forget that part. It's all an act of God, all of it. So the Lord allowed the situation to happen, and then he allowed Donald Trump to survive the situation. I wonder, I had this thought this morning before I came and saw you, and I was reading and thinking, praying about it, and I said, I wonder if what just happened to Donald Trump, this near-death experience he just survived, is not an analogy for what's about to happen to the United States of America. Is America at some point going to have a near-death experience, but survive it, but nevertheless have a near-death experience? You know, if you look at America, nobody's ever been more blessed than America. Nobody's ever been more prosperous than America, more free than America. We've been given every possible thing you could ever want: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what has our country done with that? Not every person, but as a whole, what have we done with that? Yeah. How much blasphemous things have come from this country and exist unchecked right now in our society? And I think to myself, well, is America immune from the wrath of God? Are we immune from it? Because I'm pretty sure he's really upset with a lot of the things we've done. And I think the only way people ever truly repent and come back around is to have those, what we could call a near-death experience. Those experiences have happened throughout the Bible, where Saul, futurely known as Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, his whole job was to go out and hunt down Christians and cut their heads off. That's his job. He was good at it. He was ruthless. Town to town to town. Saul's coming. Hide, hide. And he cut their heads off, cut their heads off. And then on the road to Damascus, he gets knocked flat on his butt and is blinded for several days. And in those moments, he realized, oh, wow, he's real. I've been cutting the heads off of his people this entire time. And he had a near-death experience. And then Saul came out of that, he then became Paul. And then he wrote half of the New Testament. This is not new in God's MO. When God says about himself, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, my word does not change. We change, culture changes, the world changes, but he doesn't. However he dealt with things all the way back to the beginning of the written word is exactly how he's going to deal with them now and into the future. And that is something people don't want to come to grips with. America likes to make Jesus into their own image. A lot of Christians like to make Jesus in their image. They want...
I cut it off there because I thought that was a strong point. Let me just make a couple of comments on technology. If you're aware, China has already introduced across its culture the good citizen rating, where they are able to, if you are a person they don't care for, the CCP doesn't care for, they can keep you from shopping, from having access to public transportation, from traveling. You can become a person who has no ability in that culture at all. So it's already implemented. But it's happening in places. How many of you were impacted by the worldwide glitch that happened the other day with the internet? What? Can you believe how many thousands of people were stranded, and some still are, because airlines couldn't fly, the crews couldn't get to the right places? Now, that they say to us, from what I've read, that happened because the company that was hired to improve the security of the worldwide network accesses did a basic upgrade to their software, and it had a glitch in it. Now, that was an accident. Big bucks around the world, great inconvenience. But could you believe there's a switch on the wall waiting for somebody to throw that switch that has the same or similar impact? I never even thought that there would be one place where every Microsoft network in the world could be impacted. I didn't hear anything from China. I don't know what their impact was. But the reality is, technology is quickly moving. AI is moving so fast across multiple platforms. We have opportunity. I get challenged every week to utilize AI, ChatGPT, to do something as far as messaging or whatever. And I'm resisting, but I'm listening to a lot of prognosticators on the benefits of AI. You will be challenged with AI soon. Robots that will communicate with you intuitively, do the functions you don't like to do in your homes, affordable, available, taking care of your children, reading books, doing all these things. Just this technologies are coming at us faster than ever. And I want you to know, that's biblical. Time shortens in the end of days, or the end of the era. Everything gets squished together. Things move fast. I want to make some more comments on that in a few minutes. But session number 5 is, Tommy, I want to skip session 5 and go to session 6. Can you do that? It starts at 1:20:45. See if you have that one. I'm trying my best to just gloss you over without putting you to sleep with the glossing, okay? Because I get interested with every word, and watching a television is not for everybody, right? Especially when it's on a topic that you might not be interested in. But if you'll trust me, as I get to the end of this, I have some comments that you're going to get excited about, okay? There's just some positions I want to bring out and clear. You good? Okay, this is going to be the last recorded portion of the interview.
Book. Buy my book. Put your money in the offering plate. I'm going to get on my G6 and go fly over here on a mission trip, right? And they give these lukewarm messages that keep all the Christians just feeling nice and comfortable all the time, and they never go into the stuff that we're actually talking about, which, by the way, Tucker, is what is going to happen in this country and in this world at some point. And like I said early on, everything that needs to be in place for these things to happen exists now. For preachers not to be preaching the truth about what's going on right now is such a disservice to their congregations. It's criminal, truly.
And you feel it, too.
Oh, you can feel it all day long. The stakes are so high right now. It's like I said, back in 1830, if you want to tell people nothing bad's going to happen before you're raptured out of here, okay, well, the rapture wasn't possible at that point because a lot of the prophecies hadn't come true. Everything we just talked about in Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians 2. But now, I would argue we're on the doorstep of it.
Seems pretty obvious that we are.
It feels like it is. And I think that's why you see things like spiritual warfare trending on X. Really? I mean, and it's also why you see the other side coming with everything they got. It's why you see these songs about Lucifer, Antichrist, evil, and all this other horrible stuff being pushed out. They're throwing everything they got at it right now. And we got to stand up and go, well, I'm not strong enough to push it back, but my dad is.
Amen.
You don't want to mess. My daddy can beat up your daddy. It's that old phrase. My daddy can beat up your daddy, and that's the absolute truth.
How should Christians respond day to day?
Christians better get as close as they possibly can, because I think we all feel big things coming. We don't know what they are or how bad they'll be or exactly when, but everybody feels it in the air. I'm sure you feel it in the air. There's just this thing. You wake up, you can feel it. And the only real truth out there is on the pages of the book. Everybody's got one in their house. There's one in every hotel room. There, you can go online and look up anything you want to look up and read it anytime you want to. The Word of God has never been more accessible to humanity than it is at this exact second. So I suggest you don't take the preacher's word for it. Don't take my word for it or anybody else's. You sit down and you read it for yourself and then put it into action.
He's still stupefied, but I cut it off there because I want you to, I'm going to work on the close right now. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 24 for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 14. Now, you just watched an interview of a passionate young man. I didn't show you the parts where he talks about his story. His father was a street pastor, minister, for 30 years on the streets of New Orleans, just himself and a guitar. He talks about how he grew up with his dad and how he didn't believe his dad could be that dumb, but he respects him and he honors him today. He's his hero. because he realizes he went through a season of his life where he was playing in honky-tonks and doing everything that young men do, kind of like getting away from what the father, the pastor father is doing. So he went through that season, but he's on fire now, and it's been for a number of years. And he talks about how the change that came over him as he really started reading the Bible and the significance of it. So I don't want to overemphasize this, but he went into Matthew 24 to a little bit, and I want to close this morning with us looking at it too. So this is Matthew 24, reading from verse 3 to 14. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will deliver; they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So let me say to you, I have many people that ask me, "Pastor John, can you tell me how close we are to the rapture?" It's a universal conversation within many, many, many churches. And if you study this particular topic, you'll find that there are two camps in the Christian church: those that preach the heavy rapture and those who deny it. No, that's a battleground. I'm not going to go there, but I have to take a position that is meaningful to those of you who God would entrust me with an understanding. So I want to say this to you. As much conversation that goes on with in regard to the rapture, my opinion has developed to the place where I think people want to know so much about the end times so that they can calculate when the rapture is going to happen, so that because they're away from God, they'll know the last second when they can turn to God. I think that's the emphasis that's being placed on the end time understanding. People are not looking for the return of Jesus. They're looking for the plan to get out of here before the bad stuff starts. Now, that's my view. Is that emphasis that you're reading and hearing and talking in social media, there's so much on is this the first bowl, the second bowl, the third bowl? Did we have the third world war yet? Is this Ezekiel 38 war? What's going on with this? That's most of that is trying to determine, are we close to when the rapture should take place? Because I know I'm away from God. And I need to know how much time I got. I think that's part of the trap. Now, I want to come to you with this perspective. If the rapture happens, will you qualify for it? Nobody's talking about qualifying for a rapture anymore. When I was young and, you know, we went through the movies and the hardcore stuff about, Left Behind and all that. It was great stories. But nobody's really talking about meeting the requirements for departure. One word that used to be tossed around quite regularly was holiness. Now, qualifying for the rapture is one thing. I don't know if I qualify, but I pray that I do. I'm going to do my best, and I do a lot of things that I believe God would reward me for by taking me out of the wrath that he's going to pour out, because I believe the wrath is going to come. Now, that's that position. I used to play poker a lot. I love cards. I don't anymore. But I want to cover my downside. What if the rapture doesn't happen and I have to go through the wrath? Will I be strong enough to use the words that are here in Matthew, endure to the end, that I might be saved? I think there's no escape that you and I need to really address where we sit in regard to what God is expecting from us. Are we close enough that no matter if the rapture comes, hallelujah, we're out of here? By the way, did you all notice that little Tennessee bit in there with the church, the little church? That's where Lala and Jermaine are at right now. No, they're not there. It's in the woods of Tennessee, right? Can you picture the battle that's really happening as he talks about it? For your soul, for my soul, for everything that's going on. And if the enemy, see the enemy, he goes into great length about Darby and Schofield and the generation of the understanding of the rapture didn't really happen until the 1830s. The church didn't know about it. Now that's part of the battle. But for me, I think, hey, man, there's a lot of smart theologians. They must know more than me. Maybe there really is a rapture. I want to be ready for it. That's what I grew up with in the church. I don't hear anybody talking about that. I hear everybody talking about the bad stuff. War, Ukraine, Russia, Islam. What's going on? Who's the white horse? Who's the green horse? Who's the black horse? All this is interesting. But the question that's hidden in there, and I repeat myself, is are we close to the rapture, which for people who believe in the rapture, he comes in the clouds and he takes the church out. Now, that church word has a lot of parables attached to it. Like, are you white? Have you been preparing yourself? Are you perfumed up for the return of the groom and he's going to take his bride out, go to the bride's the supper of the groom in heaven, the banquet feast, and then come back with him when he comes to do war on the earth? Great pictures, and I subscribe to most of it. But what if things start happening really bad and I keep praying and praying and praying for the rapture to happen and it doesn't? Am I ready to endure? So as I listen to this guy, he's passionate. He's pretty settled in his theology, what's going on. I believe he's ready, the way he talks. Don't know if he is, but I know the other guy, Tucker, he's oblivious. And I think he represents a large portion of the population. You and I know. Now, we're going to be held accountable to what we know. That's really where the issue is. What do you know and what are you doing about it? That's all you're going to be held accountable to. And if you have intentionally, we talked about this morning, look God in the face and said, no way, I'm living my life the way I want to do it, the rapture ain't going to help you. You're going to have to possibly be strong enough to endure. For eternity to be in the presence of God is not going to be a free gift based on your saying, I love Jesus. Ain't going to fly. That's scripture. So the question comes down to, what are you doing about it today? Are you marking? We're doing a class we started this morning on the fear of God. 10 people in a class. And my sense is, we've got 30, 40 people that don't want to be involved in knowing the fear of God. It's scary because he's relentless in his expectations of our obedience and our willingness to embrace what he's doing and walk that way. That's a challenge. I'm saying this to you because of what he said toward the end. Most pastors don't even want to tell the truth. I'm trying my best to tell you the hard truth this morning. You cannot count on being raptured if you're living away from God today. If the rapture happens. If the rapture doesn't happen, you can't count on making it through the wrath of God and not being beheaded for your faith and taking the mark of the beast, not being able to buy and sell and going through the disruption of your entire life, all your savings gone, no money, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't travel, you can't do anything, and say, I'm enduring to the end. And when the thought police come for you, they arrest you and throw you in jail or behead you, whatever it is. It says that those who resisted unto death came back to rule and reign with him in the 1,000-year millennial period. For a long time, I read it that all Christians who go in the rapture come back to rule and reign. Oh, no, it's not what it says. You know, we'll be rewarded as part of the thing for your faith. But there's a hard message. Are you practicing enough love and fear to obey God in everything that he says to you in regard to your life? I had to bring that to you this morning. Next Sunday, Pastor Jacob will be here with a bunch of kids from Korea who believe that. They really believe it. They're giving their lives in service to God the way they can. You and I can give our lives in work, finances, going, support, study. But if we're living in a dangerous place where we know we're not in line with God's, let's go just the basic Ten Commandments. If we're not at that place, we got some work to do on our faces, on our knees, just you and God, talking straight, getting our lives in order, no fooling around. And with that being said, if there's somebody that wants to begin to again today, you have the opportunity. Isn't God good? He just keeps giving us these opportunities. I don't know where we are on the spectrum. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but I can tell you Scripture is pretty vague. As I read chapter 24, if you just briefly, you look at that again, the idea of the things that are going to happen, they will deliver you up to tribulation. Has anybody in the room been delivered up to tribulation? I don't think so, but I can tell you in China they have, in the Middle East they have, Iran they have. There's Christians being delivered up to tribulation every day. We're skating right now. And put you to death, you'll be hated by all nations for my namesake. That's getting closer. America's being hated by many nations today. It's getting real close. And then many will fall away. Has there been a falling away in the church already? I think it started. There's people turning their back on the Lord, deconstructing, walking away from their childhood faith. It doesn't make sense to me anymore. There's so much going on. I don't trust the Bible anymore. And betray one another and hate one another. Christians are betraying and hating, and there's pastors leaving the pulpits, and there's going on a restoration. There is all of this going on right now. And he says, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. I am tired of listening to prophets talk about home addresses and telephone numbers and who's related to who. Has nothing to do with what God is trying to say. The Bible I read, a prophet says, thus saith the Lord, and he scares you till you almost wet your pants because you're so far away from him. I'm serious. You got to think about this. When the Lord speaks and you hear it in yourself that that's God, you can't stand. You just can't stand. You know you've been called out. Now, many of us do everything possible to not get called out, including not going to those meetings where those kinds of prophets go. We want to hear the nice, friendly prophets who tell me all the good things about what I can do and what I can't do. And then you go, I don't know if it's going to come to pass. We resign from our responsibility in hearing what the encouragement would say. Because lawlessness will be increased, it's happening right now, the love of many will grow cold. How hard is it to go love those people living on Thomas Square? How hard is it to look at that group of people and say, I don't want anything to do with them? And yet, there are people who do that. And I walk by and say, hey, how you doing? Can I help you? La, la, la. But the love of many will grow cold as we look at ourselves. But this one gets me. But the one who endures to the end. Oh, the end of what? The end of what? Is it the end of the wrath? Is it the end by termination? The end of what? The end of the gospel? I have a feeling the end is the end. That may sound silly, but I'll know when the end is here. But as my friend Margaret entreated with me yesterday, the end is just the beginning of what's going to happen after the end. I want to be around for that. And I want to be on the winning side of what's going on. And you know what that means? I'm going to be determined to speak Jesus every chance I got, to walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to think like him, to do what he is. And I'm going to grow in my fear of God. I determined that this morning. I've been absent. I confess that before you. I speak to myself. And this gospel to the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let's all rise. I want to say to you, God has given us the opportunity to start fresh, making new commitments And you know, he promises to give us the strength and the courage to do that. Do you have the courage to talk to your brother or your sister who is a blood relative that you refuse to pay attention to for many, many years? Don't want to talk to them? Say, I'm sorry. Can we start over? Do you have the courage to talk to your neighbor who you never met, you lived next to him for 15 years and say, hey, Jesus loves you? Some hard questions about what does God expect from us? He expects this. The scripture says, repent and be baptized. That's a great start. I pray nobody here has not repented and everybody's been baptized. If you haven't, let's get you baptized. But today is the day of salvation. So if you want to pray with me or with one of the pastors, we're going to have the altar open. We'll just bear witness to your testimony of where you're at and what you're doing. No judgment, no condemnation, but it's you talking to the Lord and making that commitment and getting started again. Tucker, I believe, has now entered into a place where he's got to answer some personal questions out of his ignorance. We are so far behind that, most of us. Amen? Boy, it's awful quiet in here. Pastor John, got you something to think about. Next Sunday will be fun, not like today. Next Sunday will be joyful. I hope you're here. Let's pray. Father, we look to you now as we thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the Tucker interview with John Rich. I pray a blessing over John and his song, Lord, as you continue to reach many people and cause them to question what they know about your return, because it's your return that we should be focused on, not the escape, not the departure, but your return. Lord, come quickly. Maranatha. We pray, God, that you come quickly. And in the midst of it all, find us worthy to be called followers of Jesus. Lord, we turn our hearts over to you this morning as we cry out once again, have mercy on us. Bring us to a place of wisdom in seeking what only you can provide, and that is salvation, Lord. Bless this good group of people, Lord. I know you say there are none good, but I count them good as being partakers of a great salvation that you offer. Blessings to each one as we go from this place, Lord. I pray and those watching on TV would just have a great week in the Lord. And as we come back together, there are many testimonies spoken of your goodness. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.